RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always, as we are down to the, final four shows of the season. That means four more Sundays without Bills regular season football here on WGR, as the season getting closer, one preseason game under their belts, two big trades under their belts already, and who knows what the 2017 season will bring, but you still got four more Sunday mornings with us here on WGR. Back in studio this week after our road trip to Watkins Glen last Sunday. We'll talk a bit about that in just a second, but want to let you know that the phone lines are open here this morning, 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Phone lines are open if you want to chat about anything going on in the world of motorsports, especially if you went to the Glen last weekend. I'd love to hear from you. What did you think about the qualifying and race in the one day? What did you think about that? What did you think about the 3 o'clock start time for the race? Luckily, it was the fastest cup race in modern history, so you didn't get out there too much later than maybe the last couple of years, because there was no gigantic wreck that caused a red flag like we've seen the last couple of years at Watkins Glen. So it didn't go as long as it could have, but still, 3 o'clock start time, a little bit later than in recent history for Watkins Glen. So if you were there last weekend, I'd love to hear your thoughts about that. Did it affect you for future races at the Glen? Michael Printup said on our show, and he said it elsewhere, you know, he's not real thrilled about the 3 o'clock start times and what he's hearing from his ticket buyers for the Glen. So again, if just love to hear your thoughts on how the weekend went, and if the schedule affected what you might do in the future with Watkins Glen International, or maybe it didn't affect you at all. Maybe you were fine. What you still got home at a decent time, in your opinion, or you didn't have to go to work on Monday, so you didn't mind getting home maybe a little bit later. Again, would love to hear your thoughts. 803-0551, 888-552-550. And what'd you think of the fuel strategy that played out there at the end of the race last Sunday with Truex, Keselowski, and Blaney all trying to stretch their fuel right to the end? It did not work for the 2 and the 21, but Truex had just enough. Actually, he had more than just enough, because he did a lot of burnouts after the race and was still able to drive the car to victory lane. But Martin Truex getting the win last Sunday, his first cup win at Watkins Glen, his fourth win of the season, as he continues to lead the point standings and has the series lead in wins for the 2017 season. Coming up on today's show, besides your phone calls, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to go live to Michigan International Speedway. Of course, that's where the cup race is today, and you'll be able to hear it right here in WGR coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon, live coverage from the Motor Racing Network for today's race at Michigan. And it'll be Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano on the front row and all Ford front row. But we'll go live to Michigan, and we're going to talk to Charlie Krall. Charlie is the public address announcer at the Michigan International Speedway, follower of the sport, also the voice of the ARCA Racing Series. We'll talk to Charlie in about 10 minutes or so. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, special guest, the most recent winner in Nitro Funny Car on the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, J.R. Todd's going to check in with us. They're on a bit of a break, weekend off for NHRA before they get back to business. They're coming off their West Coast swing, And JR picked up the win at Sonoma last weekend, so they got a week off, but JR is gracious enough to spend some time with us here at the bottom of the hour, so really excited to talk to funny car driver JR Todd at 11:35. But again, still time for your phone calls, too, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. We're on Twitter. Send us a tweet at FastTrack550. Actually, Sean already tweeting us, asking who we like today at Michigan. Well, we'll get to that in a minute, Sean. Also, Facebook.com/WGR Fast Track is where we are in the Facebook world if you want to check in with us there as well. But a great time to do the show live at the Glen last week. I apologize for some, I guess there were some audio issues. Had the unit a little bit, the volume up a little too much on the unit. I couldn't tell in my headphones, that was the feedback I was getting from Mike back here in the studio. So I apologize for that. But what a blast that was, doing a two-hour show live from the Glen. And obviously not the first time we did it, because we did it last year for the IndyCar race, but still cool to be there for the NASCAR race on race day. Just seeing that mass humanity like I talked about last week, getting to talk, spending that extended chat with Kurt Becker outside the MRN hauler, and then hoofing it from the MRN hauler back to the media center in Victory Lane area, and crashing the tweet up and talking to Alexander Rossi and Landon Castle and Michael McDowell, and chatting with some fans from Western New York there. It was just really cool, and getting Jeff Gluck and Bob Pockris on there live and in person. That was really fun. So I'm glad it worked out, and we were able to do the show live, because that was kind of a last second deal. I want to really thank Tom Maddy and the engineering department here at Entercom Buffalo for making that happen, because originally we weren't going to be able to do the show live, but then I kind of circled back with those folks the week of, early that week, and said, just making sure any of that equipment available, and they said sure. So I'm really, really thankful for them for making it happen, putting the equipment together so I could take it, and it was a blast, and looking forward to do it again. And I think we're actually going to do it for the IndyCar race again coming up in a few weeks for our season finale Labor Day weekend. I think we're going to do that one live from the Glen for the IndyCar race, which is coming up in just a few short weeks. So stay tuned as we hammer out the details for that, and hopefully do one more live show from the Glen here in 2017. So moving on, of course, to Michigan today, as I said, it's an all Penske front row with Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano. Kevin Harvick starts second today. Matt Kenseth is third. Matt, of course, finishing second to Truex last weekend at the Glen, trying to track him down. But unfortunately, Truex had just enough gas to make it across the finish line, and Kenseth had to settle for second, still sitting on the bubble as the last driver in on points to make the playoffs with 13 different winners here in 2017. Chase Elliott is starting fifth today, Kyle Busch sixth, Jamie McMurray, Eric Jones, Kyle Larson, who has won the last two races at Michigan. He starts ninth today, fresh off of running the Knoxville Nationals last night, the big sprint car race in Knoxville, Iowa. He finished second to Donnie Schatz, and he got a special, I guess we could say, dispensation from Chip Ganassi to go run that. He, whatever his contract states when it comes to him running sprint car races, he can do it during the week. He just can't do it on weekends. And because Kyle won, I think it was Thursday night up there, Wednesday or Thursday night, he won a feature at Knoxville, which qualified him for the big Knoxville Nationals A-Main on Saturday. Thanks to Kyle, and also maybe the social media world for bonding together and putting enough pressure on Chip Ganassi to allow Kyle to leave Michigan on Saturday and go to Knoxville and run the big Knoxville National Sprint Car race last night. And he finished second to Donnie Schatz, and now he'll start ninth today in today's Cup race. Denny Hamlin rounds out the top 10 starters. Other notable names in the field: Clint Bowyer starts 11th. Clint had a good shot at the Glen right before the fuel strategy started to come into play. Clint was right there. Unfortunately, it did not work out for him in the end, but a good run for Clint. He'll start 11th. Blaney is 12th. Truex 13th. Kurt Busch starts 15th. Daniel Suarez starts 16th today. Dale Jr. in his final Michigan start is 19th. Jimmy Johnson 22nd. Casey Kane 23rd. And that'll about do it for notable names in the field for today's race. But speaking of Casey Kane, of course, we've now officially know that Casey is out of the 5 car for 2018. Hendrick Motorsports making that official, and then shortly thereafter announcing that William Byron will move to the Cup Series in 2018 to drive the 5 car. We thought maybe he'd go to the 88, but that went to Alex Bowman. But Byron now will get the promotion from the Xfinity Series, where he's been a winner this year in his rookie year, and he'll become a full-time rookie in the Cup Series in 2018. So now you've got another veteran driver without a ride for next year. You've got Matt Kenseth, you have Casey Kane, and you potentially Well, right now you have Kurt Busch, who's technically a free agent, as Stuart Haas Racing not picking up his option. Although they said they'd like to see him back in the 41 next year, that has still not been done. And you know, he apparently has other offers on the table. But as of right now, Kurt Busch also a free agent. Danica Patrick could potentially be a free agent. Her contract, it just hinges on sponsorship, she has said. And right now she doesn't have any for 2018. So now you're seeing, again, another youth movement here in NASCAR, where more younger drivers are moving into these seats, and we are seeing some big name veteran drivers without rides for next year. And I mean, two of them are former series champions in Kenseth and Kurt Busch, albeit it's been more than 10 years since either won a championship. They're still quality drivers. These aren't, you know, Darrell Waltrip in the late 90s championship drivers. These are, while they're on the backside of their career, they're still legitimate candidates to win a race, and two drivers that are going to be in the playoffs this year, including the Daytona 500 winner from this year in Kurt Busch. It's unbelievable the shift here that that is going on right now with these big name veteran drivers without a ride. And it's showing that the system is kind of broken in our sport right now, with the bust of the NASCAR bubble in the early 2000s, leading to these hard times in finding sponsorship, the increasing costs surrounding the sport, whether it's the new cars that they've brought in over recent years, everything that has changed, the rising cost of the sport, and it has led to the system being broken. Now, even more so, it is no longer getting a ride in the highest of series in the sport of NASCAR. It no longer predicates on talent alone. It's strictly it's a dollars and cents thing, and who can bring the best sponsorship. When you have Matt Kenseth and Kurt Busch right now sitting on the sidelines, but Paul Menard has already found another ride for next year just because he brings all that sponsorship money with him. It's very frustrating for me as someone who follows this sport, still consider himself a fan of the sport. It's very frustrating for me to see that, to see these level of drivers not being able to find rides for next year versus drivers that might be lesser deserving to do so. I mean, it's great. You know, it's great to see the young talent. I've been loving, you know, watching. Look at Daniel Suarez, what he's progressed here in the second half of the season. He's up to 15th in the point standings. Unfortunately, he'll need a win to make the playoffs still, but still, what he has become, he's the highest rookie in the points innings now. It's been great. Eric Jones, Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, you know, all these young guys talking about it. But now it's starting to get to the point where it's like the truck in the Xfinity series. All these young drivers come in and they're just paying their way in, and it's going to get, I'm afraid it's going to get like the Xfinity truck series where, there's so much turnover. It's so much turnover in those two series. Like every 2 years, there's a new crop of young kids, and the crop that was there before them, most of them have washed out because the dollars have run out on their rides. You know, and you just can't keep track of who's who in the sport. And both series, you know, are struggling to put together a group of stars to make them attractive for people to tune in every week, besides to see what cup drivers might be racing against them. You know, Gibbs has got a great development program putting all these different kids in their cars in the Xfinity series, but you've never heard of some of them, or they're only in it once or twice a year. I mean, yeah, it was great to see Ryan Preece win in a Joe Gibbs car, but he only got two, or he's going to get a third race now out of it. But, you know, I would like to see someone in that car full time, I guess, and be able to run for the series championship and make a name for themselves. So we have a group of stars that are that pertain to the Xfinity series or pertain to the truck series, and there are some of those guys, but I just don't think there is enough of them right now in either series. And like I said, they're not going to be around very long. They're either going to be able to take the money and run to the next level, which would be the Cup Series if you're in the Xfinity Series, or they wash out. And, you know, it's like, where did Gray Galding go? You know, it's just very, very, I guess, frustrating as someone that follows the sport, someone that's a fan of the sport, is that the system is broken right now. And unfortunately, there's no way to solve it, I guess, without throwing some more major changes at the sport, something to reduce the cost, I guess, that these teams have to run every week, for these teams to run every week, that to change it, to change the sport, it would require some major changes that would have to totally throw off the current business model. Before we get to Charlie Crowell out in Michigan, let's grab a quick phone call here. Trey and Clarence is on the line. Tony and Clarence. Good morning, Tony.
Yeah, I think this is an inevitable development within the system. And then you have to ask yourself, you know, like in baseball, they have farm teams. So players that are in the majors, they eventually, you know, go ebb and flow, and there's always a change in the guard there.
Mm.
Also, you have to ask yourself, does that individual bring with it the sponsorship?
Yes.
Or does the sponsorship bring the individual? So, you know, you see that all the time. I mean, like Jeff Gordon, he retired. Somebody took his place, you know. This gave another person a chance. How many great drivers are out there that never get to this level, you know?
Yeah.
Just go by the wayside. But the inevitability is, and also, would it not be better if they just stopped the 40 cars in a race instead of 43?
I'm fine with 40 car field. That does not affect my my viewing habits at all. Tony, thank you for the phone call. I'm fine with 36 car fields. I mean, what does those 4-5 extra cars mean? It's just a few more back markers you're not going to see on television anyway. Now, if they got enough cars if they're sending home tons of cars, fine, expand the field. But as of right now, they're barely getting 38 to show up on a weekly basis. So that the size of the field does not impact it. Tony, thanks for the phone call. Let's go to the AT&T hotline, though, and go head out to Michigan, where today's race is taking place. And I want to welcome Charlie Crowell to the show from the Michigan International Speedway and the ARCA Racing Series. Charlie, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning, my friend.
Dave, it's great to finally talk to you, man.
Hey, it's been a long time, and you are, I know you got a busy weekend there at Michigan International Speedway, but right off the top here, this Northeast Midwest swing, Pocono, the Glen, Michigan, you know, always the threat of rain seems to hang over this part of the country this time of year, and it looks like for the third Sunday in a row, the folks at NASCAR are getting real lucky with the weather. It's going to be a great day in Michigan, it sounds like.
It is picture perfect, man. You could not have asked for a better day. It's going to be about 78 degrees, a few white puffy clouds, no threat of rain whatsoever. It is a gorgeous day in the Irish Hills. I'm loving it.
Well, how about today's race at Michigan? Some interesting comments coming out of qualifying after the Fords took the top three spots with Keselowski, Logano, and Harvick. But Brad stirring up the Toyota folks, saying they're doing a little bit of sandbagging. How do you think it's going to play out come race time? Is Brad going to be proved right here?
I don't know what Brad's true motives were right there. Maybe he was just wanting to get under his good friend Kyle Busch's skin a little bit. Clearly it worked. But I will tell you, based on what I saw in practice, all three manufacturers have a good shot at pulling off a victory here today. Brad's car is very fast. Some of the Toyotas have been really fast as well. It's going to be anybody's game today. It really will be. So we'll just have to let them run 200 laps, 400 miles, and see who shakes out on top.
Yeah, and of course, the guy who's won the two most recent races out there at Michigan, Kyle Larson, who's, like I said at the top of the show, fresh out of running the sprint car last night in Knoxville. Kyle's been a bit of a downward trend here the last few weeks in the Cup Series. They had that penalty problems, too, as well for NASCAR. Do you think he steps up to the plate today and returns to his Michigan form? Do we see the 42 as a big factor here this afternoon?
He was one of the fastest cars in practice all day on Friday. He looked really good again on yesterday, and he gets around this place as good as anyone. So if there is a place where Kyle Larson can break this little mini slump that he's got going on, it's going to be here. I mean, he's won, you know, a couple of times here. He's won out at Fontana, which is very similar
to yep.
Michigan. If it's going to happen, it's going to be here.
Charlie Crowell joining us live from the Michigan International Speedway. Somebody else, of course, to watch for who could really use a win, that's Chase Elliott. He's got a nice little streak. I think it's like three straight second-place finishes out there at Michigan. And while he can make the playoffs on points, I'm sure he'd sleep a little bit easier if he could get a win here before the regular season is out.
Yeah, and he puts a lot of pressure on himself, too. Chase is one of those guys that doesn't like to make excuses for what's going on with his race team and his performance. And I think he would rest a lot easier if he had that first win. It could happen here. His dad got around this place really well.
Yep. He's
extremely popular up here. The other guy that really needs to get a win today is someone who already has a win, but it didn't count towards the playoffs, Joey Logano.
Oh, yeah.
the encumbered win at Richmond earlier in the year is just absolutely annihilated his playoff chances. He doesn't have really any hope at all to make it in on points. He has got to win a race. And he has come into a place where he has had a lot of success. He qualified very well. He races very well here. If I had to pick somebody to go to victory lane today, Joey Logano would be my guy.
Yeah, he's 95 back of Kenseth, so mathematically he's starting to run out of options. And yeah, it's a do-or-die situation for the 22 team. Do you think today with it being a they can't not pit without going a lap down, but do you think we'll see a lot of strategy come into play today with some of those teams, like maybe the 22, taking some chances with the strategy here with the stages today?
I think you will see some teams. I mean, with the pit road closes with two laps to go in a stage, and I think you will see some drivers come on down pit road with three laps to go, especially the ones that are in contact with the leaders. You can make a pit stop here and maybe stay on the lead lap if things kind of shake out the right way.
Mm.
And if you're very efficient and get it on and off pit road very well, you may see somebody make that gamble today. I don't know if, you know, the guys who are on the bubble will have that luxury, but, you know, maybe someone who has already been locked in, like a Martin Truex, and just go out and race for a win, he may be able to be in a position to do something like that.
Charlie, you talked about the popularity of Chase Elliott, and earlier this week, the topic of popular drivers, well, all week, I guess, since Tuesday, the topic of driver popularity has been a kind of a hot button issue in the NASCAR world after Kevin Harvick talked about that Dale Jr.'s popularity without the results on the track may have stunted the growth in the sport of recent years. What did you make of those comments? And it's kind of sparked a little war of words between Kevin's camp and the Earnhardt camp here back and forth this week.
You know, I don't necessarily think that Kevin Harvick is wrong. I think the out of control upward spiral of popularity for Dale Earnhardt Jr. certainly hasn't helped the other drivers in the sports. But the one thing that I think Kevin might not have expressed properly is that it's not necessarily Dale Earnhardt's fault.
Yeah,
that happened. You know, it's the media people and the television broadcasts and the radio broadcasts.
Sure.
You know, focused on him even when he wasn't necessarily performing as well as he would have liked to have been. And I understand why they did that. You know, and anytime you wrote about Dale Earnhardt Jr., you were going to get page clicks. And anytime you talked about him, you know, people were going to tune in. You know, it makes sense for them on a business perspective in that moment. But what's going to happen next year when he's not gone? And oh, by the way, we don't have any other drivers that are transcendent and are easily recognizable. You know, how are we going to drive page clicks and views when, you know, Kevin Harvick is the lead guy and, you know, he has 1/20th the popularity that Dale Earnhardt Jr. had, you know. So, you know, it's a balance. We want all of the top performing drivers to get that attention. I think it makes more business sense for the sport as a whole for it to be like that. It actually makes more business sense for the broadcasters and the media groups who cover the sport to do it that way as well. But, you know, that toothpaste is out of the tube, Dave. I don't know if we're going to be able to get that one back yet.
Hey, Charlie, before we let you go, a couple things real quick. Much like Watkins Glen, the atmosphere at Michigan is one of the best in the sport, a great camping atmosphere. One of our morning show hosts, last year he went to, I think, the June race. He camped there his first NASCAR race. He loved it. And I know the folks in the Irish Hills always have a good time when NASCAR comes to town.
I will tell you, they actually... the biggest campground in the state of Michigan is Michigan International Speedway. You should see how many campers are in the infield and out in the lots outside the racetrack. It is a great atmosphere, and it's almost like you're in a national park. I mean, I'm up in the tower right now, and as far as I can see, there's nothing but green. You know, we've got trees that are just literally as far as the eye can see. There are a couple of state parks that are actually within walking distance of the racetrack. Lots of campgrounds. It's a beautiful place to be. If I could have picked I couldn't have picked a better place to build a racetrack, honestly. It's got a great feel to it, just much like Watkins Glen does. It's just a beautiful setting for a racetrack.
Yeah, if you can't get to the Glen, that one of your next closest and next best options would make that trip across Canada from Buffalo to Michigan. It's a, like I said, Jeremy White was up there last year. He had a blast. So it's one of the great facilities of the sport and not far here from Western New York. Charlie, last thing, of course, you work with the ARCA Racing Series. What's coming up on the ARCA schedule? And I think folks can maybe see you on TV sometime soon, maybe.
I wish they could still see me on TV. Working on that for next year.
All right.
To me on ARCAracing.com. I'm going to have the call in a couple of weeks on Labor Day Monday, one of my favorite races of the year down at DuQuoin State Fairgrounds, 1 mile dirt track, Dave.
Oh, I love this race.
Won't
yeah.
See anything like it. We actually have the Springfield Mile coming up next weekend, and that will be on MAV TV live. That's always a great show to watch. Highly encourage you to check it out. Stock cars on a dirt mile doesn't get any better.
Awesome. Great to hear. I love the ARCA series. I wish they came a little bit closer to Western New York, like when they used to come to Lake Erie Speedway. But
that's it.
Unfortunately, we'll have to settle to listen to you at ARCAracing.com to get our ARCA coverage. Charlie, great to talk to you. Thank you for the time. I know it's a busy morning there in Michigan, but enjoy the race today, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
I really appreciate it, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care. Charlie Krall from the Michigan International Speedway in the ARCA Racing Series. He is one of the voices of both Michigan and ARCA. And great to catch up with him. We get back, we're going to talk to J.R. Todd from the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. Just picked up his first career funny car win at Sonoma last weekend. We'll talk to J.R. Todd, all things straight line racing. And still take your phone calls too, 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. We get back here on Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Ryan Blaney, driver number 21, Motorcraft Quick Lane Ford. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Ryan Blaney rolling off 12th today at Michigan. We'll have, again, have the race today here on WGR. Coverage coming up at 2 o'clock, courtesy of our friends at the Motor Racing Network, right after Nate and Sal are done out at Bill's training camp. And, again, it was great time catching up with Kurt Becker last week, just standing outside the MRN hauler, their live production studio. That thing is just mammoth. It's, you know, like the size of, you've never seen it before, it's like the size of one of the NASCAR Cup haulers, but inside it's, you know, just a radio station in there pretty much. So it was great chatting with Kurt. Also had a quick chance before we talked to Kurt, caught up with our buddy Steve Post, the postman, and even saw Jack Arute over there. And said hello to him, the legendary Jack Arute. So it was a great time seeing some of the MRN folks last Sunday over at Watkins Glen. And how about Kurt giving our friends at Batavia Downs some love, too? That was really good. Luckily, the folks at Batavia Downs were listening, and they heard that last week. So that worked out really well. 11:35 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track. We're going to be chatting with J.R. Todd here in just a couple of minutes. NHRA Nitro Funny Car driver picked up his first career funny car win a couple of weeks ago at Sonoma as he moved from the top field dragster category over to funny car for this season for Team Coletta. And we're going to talk to J.R. hopefully here very soon. When we were talking to Charlie Krall there, talked about Brad Keselowski's comments after qualifying on Friday. And Brad saw here's the direct quote from Brad. We had a strong suspicion, easy for me to say, that those guys would kind of tune it down this weekend as to not post a pretty big number in inspection that maybe balanced back out the competition. And potentially that's right because our team hasn't done much differently and those guys are just not as fast as they've been the last few weeks. So Brad kind of hinting that maybe, you know, Toyota's maybe scaling back a little bit so NASCAR doesn't come down on them, tightening up the inspection just before the playoffs start, and you know just so they can keep whatever package they've got currently going into the playoffs. And that drew some interesting quotes from, especially from Kyle Busch, who called him a blanking moron, and obviously no love lost between Kyle and Brad, especially after they got together at the Interloop last weekend at Watkins Glen. And actually, after the race, I ran out to pit road with some of the other national reporters, and we all ran over to Kyle to see if he was going to go pay Brad a visit after the race. He didn't, though, maybe fortunately for him. He went to go chat with A.G. Allmendinger. That was civil, but he did not get into any kind of altercation with Brad Keselowski after the race. Let's go to the AT&T hotline, though, and bring in driver of the DHL Toyota Camry for Coletta Motorsports. Fresh a couple of weeks off his first career Nitro Funny Car win in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, J.R. Todd joins us here on WGR's Fast Track. J.R., it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. Thank you so much for spending some time here on your weekend off, chatting with us here in Buffalo.
Hey, absolutely. It's nice to have a weekend off after that three-race Western swing, which was pretty successful for us. But it's, once again, nice to have some time off and get ready for these next few races coming up before our playoff.
Yeah, first off, let's go back a couple of weeks. Congratulations. First off, just how did it feel to break through at Sonoma a couple of weeks ago and get your first win in Funny Car in your first season in the class?
Oh, man, that was huge. I mean, this has been a trying season for us in that DHL Toyota Camry. I mean, we've had a lot of struggles, and I mean, I feel like there was times that I wasn't doing a good job driving and giving up runs, and then at the same time, we just we weren't performing at the level we thought we should be. And you know, our first race of the Western Swing there in Denver, we made some good runs throughout the weekend and carried that into Sonoma once we got back to sea level. And things just clicked that weekend. We got a lucky break on race day against Jack Beckman. But all in all, the performance came around, and it was nice to reward the yellow fellas with a trophy at the end of the day.
I like that, yellow fellas. I like that. What do you think has been the challenge for you? Is it just making the transition from top fuel to funny car? Is it a bigger challenge than maybe you expected? Is it, I'm not sure if this is like the same team you're using in top fuel last year, or is it just a matter of just making these transitions from the rail car to the flopper?
I mean, it's definitely a more challenging transition going from the dragster to a funny car. I mean, I knew it was going to be a challenge, but the first couple races, it was just a matter of me getting comfortable in the car, making the right adjustments with, you know, the pedals and the steering and the seat angle and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Once we got all that figured out, it was just, you know, me getting laps under my belt and learning how to drive on these things. You got to be more aggressive with the steering wheel, and it just it takes time. But like I said, at the same time, the performance of the car wasn't where we wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of changed the way we went about the tune-up there at the beginning of this summer, and it just took some races to figure it out, and now it's finally starting to click, and hopefully at the right time of the year for us.
Is it a bigger challenge to keep the funny car straight versus the top fuel car? Are you more likely to smoke the tires and lose traction in the funny car compared to how you were driving the top fueler?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a dragster is so much longer than the funny car wheelbase.
Yeah.
That if you were to steer a top fuel dragster the way you do a funny car, I mean, you'd flip that thing over in no time. So, yeah, it's definitely more difficult to keep that funny car in the groove just because of the short wheelbase and, you know, they're heavier. And for one, they're harder to see out of than a dragster with that engine in front of you. And
sure.
It's just it takes a whole different mindset, but at the same time, I mean, it's a lot of fun, and it's something that I wouldn't trade for the world. I mean, I keep telling all my sprint car buddies, it's the closest thing you'll ever get to dirt tracking in a straight line. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I noticed you do a lot of social media posts about sprint car racing. I'm sure you were watching the Knoxville Nationals last night. Do you have a background in sprint car racing at all, or are you just a fan?
More or less just a fan. I mean, I grew up a couple blocks from a dirt track there in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. A lot of USAC races take place there. So, I mean, I followed it ever since I was a kid and gotten to know a lot of the guys in the sport and watched a lot of guys come through this way. You know, Kyle Larson, he's one of my good friends. Watched him, you know, make his name somewhat here in Indiana, then take it all the way to where he is now. So, yeah, I was definitely tuned in watching him at Knoxville last night. That was pretty cool to watch.
I know Cruz Pedregon and Gary Selzy, they've gone from the strip to the dirt track. That's something in your future. Do you ever see yourself maybe get behind the wheel of one of those things?
I mean, anytime there's an opportunity for me to jump in something like that, I usually try to jump all over it. Last year, I went out to Rico Abreu's before the race in Sonoma. We got to, you know, race around in some of those outlaw carts that he has his own personal track, and that was a lot of fun. So, yeah, I mean, I've messed around with some sprint cars and dirt late models and things like that, but nothing too serious, more or less just out there having fun by myself.
JR Todd joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. JR, you talked about your challenges with your DHL Toyota Camry with Team Coletta, but I mean, you just look at the level of competition that you've got to face week in and wake out. You've got the JFR cars with John Force, Courtney Force. You've got Ron Capps, who's having a hell of a year this year. I think he's got like 4 national event wins. Matt Hagen is always so strong. I mean, you got to go up against some of the best that there's ever been right now in drag racing every week.
Yeah, absolutely. That I knew that going into the class. That Funny Car was right now probably the most competitive class in all of drag racing. I feel like it's been that way the last 2 or 3 seasons. And just qualifying in the top half is a huge challenge right now. I mean, with the DSR cars and the John Force Racing cars, they're performing at a high level. And between the two teams, I mean, they pretty much. They've won every race out there this season except for the one we won there in Sonoma. So that shows how tough it is. But at the same time, I think our Coletta Motorsports cars are turning the corner and picking up the performance. And hopefully we can get Alexis in that top 10 before the cutoff to the countdown there at Indianapolis. That'd be big for us. And It's exciting times for sure, the way that the class has progressed here in the last couple of years.
Yeah, you mentioned, I was going to say, 2 races left till the countdown to the championship, which is NHRA's version of their postseason with Brainerd and, of course, the big go, the U.S. Nationals Labor Day weekend. What's your strategy for these next 2 events? Is it just minding your P's and Q's and just trying to earn a maximum points, or do you want to go out there and maybe get another win before the postseason starts?
Oh, man, I'd love to get another win, especially there at Indianapolis. I mean, that's the hometown race for me. I mean, that's our biggest race of the season. We got a specialty race within the event with the Traxxas shootout that we're qualified for, where we get to race on Sunday for $100,000. So there's a lot going on between now and the countdown. But mainly, we just need to go out there and keep going rounds, try and qualify as high as we can and maybe gain some of those qualifying points. And we're, I think, 3 points behind Tim Wilkerson for 8th. So if we could pass him and just kind of go some rounds and maintain our spot, we'll be looking good going into the countdown. And then once that happens, if we can lock in before Indy, that'd be nice. And just focus on the race there at Indy. Then once Charlotte comes, turn up the wick, and then you got to go for broke like those guys did in 2015, where they won 4 events that year and end up winning the championship.
J.R. Todd from the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. J.R., I wish, being here in Buffalo, I wish we had more national events closer to us. I mean, Norwalk's not too far, maybe then Maple Grove or Epping or Englishtown, but I wish we had more national events close by to watch you in person. But we love watching you guys on Fox and Fox Sports 1. They're doing a great job with the broadcast. Best of luck the rest of this season. And again, thank you for taking time on an off weekend to talk to us.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. And we love coming out there to the East Coast. I mean, those fans, they're diehards and really passionate about drag racing. So that's one section of the country we definitely look forward to going on and putting on a show for those guys.
Take care, JR. Thank you.
No problem. Thank
All right. you. J.R. Todd, again, driver of the DHL Toyota Camry for Coletta Motorsports in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. We get back, we'll hit the local racing roundup, although it's a little bit soggy, as you've seen some of the rains we've had this weekend here in Western New York and Southern Ontario, but we've got a few things to talk about, some midweek races to catch up on, and we'll get you set for some busy times here in local racing coming up next weekend. We'll be back with that and more of your phone calls, too, on Fast Track here on WGR. Hey, race fans, it's Dave Buchanan from my friends at Batavia Downs. Need to discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, as they have over 800 of the hottest and in-demand video gaming machines, and they're adding new ones all the time there at Batavia Downs. You can go there, play the video game machines, you can check out live harness racing, place wagers on it, grab a bite to eat one of their great restaurants, and now you can even spend the night. Of course, they've got the hotel now at Batavia Downs. A great day or maybe a great weekend for you and your friends and loved ones if you want to head up there to Batavia Downs. Of course, our favorite part of Batavia Downs here on Fast Track's 34 Rush. That's Thurman Thomas's sports bar right inside Batavia Downs Gaming. Grab a bite to eat, watch some sports on all their HD TVs. They roll out the big projection screen for those big events. Watch live harness racing, place wagers on it too from right inside there. It's a great place, 34 Rush, right inside Batavia Downs Gaming. They're open every day, 8 a.m. until 4 a.m., and you can't miss them. They're right off the thruway, exit 48, right in Batavia. For more information, be sure to follow Batavia Downs Gaming on Facebook and Twitter for up-to-date information on all their promotions, and discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, and tell them you heard about them right here on Fast Track.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
And let's go back to Tuesday night at the Ranceville Speedway. The Summer Nationals and the week of Matt Shepard in the Niagara region started Tuesday night with a win in the Summer Nationals over Billy Decker and Larry White. Eric Rudolph, Stuart Friesen and rounding up the top five. This was a barn burner of a race, especially the first half of the race. Great battle up front between Jimmy Phelps, Billy Decker, Matt Shepard, and Stuart Friesen. One of the better series races we've seen at Ranceville in the last few years, but super Matt Shepard coming out on top. Chris Burek won the Sportsman feature. Pete Stefanski got the Street Stock win. The folks at Merrittville got rained out Monday night, so they moved it to Wednesday, and they got the Bob Sainemann Senior Memorial 100 in. And once again, it was Matt Shepard getting the win over Gary Lindberg and Billy Decker. Matt getting a little help with a late caution after Gary Lindberg and Eric Rudolph tangled while racing for the lead. Rudolph spun out, and that allowed Shepard to catch up on a restart. He took advantage to get by Lindberg to get the victory. So he has got four in a row on the Super Dirt Car Series. Jay Mallory won the Sportsman feature there at Merrittville on Wednesday. Rob Murray, another win in the Hoosier Stocks. Tony Kelly getting the win in the four cylinders. Friday night was a washout around Western New York. Lancaster Dragway, Ransomville, Freedom all rained out on Friday night. Last night, Lancaster was a rain out after two heat races, unfortunately. Holland got part of their show in. Ryan Billy won the Bandolero feature. Josh Marchese winning in the Legends. Bob Bogner winning in the Hornets. The Pro Modifieds, Chargers, and TQ Midgets got their features rained out there at Holland. Genesee Speedway managed to get their show in. Jimmy Johnson, no, not that one, in the Crate Late Models. Kyle Inman in the Sportsman. Matt Smith in the Micro Sprints. Jesse Quartermouse in the Street Stocks. James Gayton in the Mini Stocks. Bailey Logsden in the Bandits last night there at Genesee Speedway. Merrittville Speedway last night, Jay Moulton getting the win in the Mini Stocks. Dave Bailey, his eighth win of the year in the Hoosier Stocks. Tyler Winger in the Mod Lights, Gord McIntosh in the Novice Sportsman, Rob Knapp in the Sportsman, and Ryan Soucy getting the win, his second of the year in the 358 Modifieds over Scott Wood, Gary Lindberg, Chad Brockman, and Tommy Flanagan last night there at the Merrittville Speedway. Tonight, Humberstone Speedway, they've got a full show, including the Southern Ontario Sprint Cars. That gets going about 6:30 there out in Port Colborne, Ontario. But yeah, Matt Shepard is on fire. Unfortunately for Matt, while he's winning, Billy Decker is finishing right behind him. So Matt, while he's moved up to third in the Super Dirt Car point standings, did not take much out of Billy Decker's points lead. So he trails by 105 points, but Billy's still got to deal with Larry White. But they still got all us the few more races this month and into September and October. So if Matt can stay hot and maybe Billy Decker has some bad luck, Matt Shepard can close the gap and overcome that two-race suspension he had to serve earlier this year for his scuffle with Lightning Larry White. That'll do it for us. We'll be back next week. Coming up this Saturday night, big race at Lancaster, the Tommy Tony 110 for the Race of Champions Modified Series, the Tommy Drewer Tony Jankoyak Memorial. That'll be a big show Saturday night at Lancaster. The Bristol Night Races next weekend, and IndyCar back in action at Pocono next Sunday. We'll have the IndyCar race here on WGR next Sunday, as well as the Watkins Glen IndyCar race will be on our station or ESPN 1520 Labor Day weekend. So that'll do it for us. Be sure to tweet us and Facebook us during the race today, and we'll talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.